UK Wine Show, show number 146. Minimum pricing with Gavin Partington. G'day. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 146 for the 6th of March, 2009. My name's Chris Scott, and on this week's show, we're talking with Gavin Partington from UK's Wine and Spirit Trade Association. Scotland has just this week announced its legislative plans for the alcohol industry, and we talked to him about their response to the proposed changes and the introduction of minimum pricing. In the spotlight, we review our poll, Do You Keep to the Government Guidelines on Alcohol Consumption? And this week's quote is, Wine is bottled poetry. Who said that? Clues throughout the show, answer at the end. But next up, we have the news with Jane.
Thanks, Chris. Wine terrorists CRAV have attacked Le Domaine de la Baume, the Languedoc estate by Grand Chais de France, France's second biggest wine group. The anti-globalisation protesters set off two explosions on the estate in Servian near Béziers. The worst damage was to the offices and wine shop, and the group left its signature painted on the walls.
CRAV are out and about blowing things up again. Sometimes I can understand their frustration. The EU is forcing Sauvio to come from California rather than from Spain. What's going on there, Jane?
Well, the producers of Sauvio, the reduced alcohol wine, have lost their two-year battle with the UK's Food Standards Agency, who impounded the company's entire stock after its launch in 2007. Legally, a wine must be at least 9% ABV to be described as wine, but the Sauvio wine is only 8% and did not comply with the labelling rules. The wine was also banned for being made by an unauthorised method using the spinning cone technology. And for this reason, the wine now has to be sourced from California instead of Spain to avoid EU wine regulations. The company is considering an appeal, but in the meantime, their wine under a revised label is available from 50 Waitrose stores in the UK.
Well, the banning of low-alcohol wine, I think it's quite funny given what's happening in Scotland. What's going on up there, Jane?
Well, the Scottish Government are planning to set a minimum price for alcohol and ban alcohol promotions. And this would make Scotland the first country in the world to set such a pricing policy for alcohol. The plans are intended to tackle the country's alcohol-related issues, but industry figures are concerned that the proposals will target only a minority of Scots who drink irresponsibly and will fail to address a serious long-term problem. Scotland is eighth in a world lead table for alcohol consumption. The Scottish Grocers Federation said it could result in the closure of smaller retailers and would discriminate against the off-licence industry and small shops. But Nicola Sturgeon, the Scottish Health Secretary, said the measures were an attempt to prevent strong drink being sold for pocket money prices. That's it from me this week. Don't forget you can get these stories at our website 3050.co.uk.
Cheers, Jane. The decision by the Scottish Regional Assembly to put a minimum value on alcohol is an interesting one. I interviewed Gavin Partington from the Wine Spirit Trade Association the day the news broke, and we're going to be talking with him later on in the show about that. And also next week, we're going to be talking with Michael Thompson from the Portman Group on their submission to the Scottish Government. The Portman Group is a lobby group that represents 9 of the biggest drinks groups in the world and many of the big brands you see in the supermarket. While Scotland tries to manage its relationship with alcohol, this week's poll shows that things are not as bad as everybody goes on about. The poll was, the UK government advises people to drink no more than 3 to 4 units of alcohol a day for men and 2 to 3 for women, where a unit in the UK is considered 8 grams of alcohol. Would you say you regularly drink less, drink more, drink about that amount, don't think you worry about it, or no idea what accounts for a unit? We ran this poll originally in November 2007, so about 14, 15 months ago. And since then, there's been a lot of education about the consumption and the health effects of alcohol. The results were, interestingly, quite stable, with people who didn't know what a unit was rising slightly from 2 to 3%, so not really significant, and the people who just don't care about units at 14%. Those who drink about that amount has fallen, originally at 25%, now 21%. But the big change has been those who drink less, rising from 26% all the way up to 38%. and those drinking more falling from 32% to 24%. So it looks like the trends are in the right direction. This results imply that the work carried out in the industry and the health lobby have resulted in an improvement of about 9% of the population drinking less or the amount the government guidelines. This sits pretty well with the trend of alcohol consumption, which has been dropping in the UK since 2004. That ends this week's poll. It's quite interesting. Next week, we're going to be looking at the book review, and the book is The Wine Diet by Roger Corder. I read The Wine Diet about a year and a half ago, and I interviewed Roger way back in one of the shows a long time ago. But since then, we've been looking at wine and food. I thought this is a good time to look at that book again. I've been trying out some of the recipes, and it's all fun. Before we get into the interview, how are you getting on with the quote? If you recall, it is, "Wine is bottled poetry." Quite a lovely quote. Well, since this show's all about Scotland, the quote as well was said by a Scottish novelist and poet, essayist and travel writer. Perhaps his most famous novel is Treasure Island. Any ideas? Well, from Scottish novelist to what Scotland's doing about their relationship with alcohol. Next up, we're going to be interviewing Gavin Partington. Gavin is the spokesman from the Wine Spirit Trade Association, and we talked with him about the Wine Spirit Trade Association's position on minimum pricing. Let's have a listen to what he has to say. Hi, I'm here with Gavin Partington. You're the Wine Spirit Trade Association's spokesman. How are you, Gavin?
I'm fine. Very well, thanks.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a wee bit about one of the issues that's really come to light recently is Scotland. Scotland has been really trying to change their relationship with alcohol, or at least the government says it is. Scotland's got this big issue with alcohol consumption. But if you look at it, they're still well behind the Germans and the French and many other countries who don't seem to be as stressed about it as the Scottish. Is there an issue in Scotland from your point of view?
I think there is an issue in Scotland, but I think there is also true to say that there is an issue with alcohol misuse and excessive alcohol consumption in certain northern European countries. And it does seem to be northern European countries which are impacted, and oddly, countries where, in fact, the price of alcohol is actually very, very cheap relative to the price in the United Kingdom, there is less of a problem. So they don't seem to have a problem with binge drinking in Spain or in France or in Italy, and yet the price of alcohol there is very cheap. So an interesting dichotomy, I think. Mm. There is a problem with alcohol misuse. I think it's quite deeply rooted in parts of the United Kingdom, and particularly in Scotland, where if you break it down, there is evidence of a strong correlation between poverty, areas of poverty, of social decline, of unemployment, of family breakdown in parts of Western Scotland particularly. And those seem to be the areas where there is the most clear evidence of a problem with alcohol misuse. So I think that when politicians in Scotland approach this issue, yes, they're right to do so. Yes, they're right to recognise that it's an issue that needs dealing with. But let's look at the root causes rather than simply go for grabbing headlines. We're very, very keen as an industry to support evidence-based policy. If there is evidence to testify to the need for certain action to address alcohol misuse, then let's look at that evidence and consider the best way forward.
Can you give us a nutshell what the proposals that were recently released by Scottish Parliament, what are the key points there?
What the Scottish Government have done is they've announced a whole series of proposals. They mooted many of them in a document last year. Yesterday, really, they've effectively confirmed what they plan to do. Mm-hmm. The most significant ones in terms of the consumer are clearly the ones around pricing. They are planning to ban what they regard as irresponsible promotions. That would be promotions which see significant substantial discounts of products.
Loss leading retail, or just
they're planning to do that. They want to see an end to loss leading and mm-hmm. below cost selling. And they want to also introduce a minimum price as part of the pricing promotions policy. And they haven't, I think it's important to recognise, they haven't spelled out how that minimum pricing regime might work or how it might be introduced. And I think there's an area for debate there because advice from countless competition lawyers has suggested that imposing a minimum pricing regime would run counter to UK competition law, but also EU competition law.
But which is worse? If they're not allowed to put a minimum pricing in, then the next obvious thing for them, if they want to get a minimum price, is jack up tax.
Well, precisely so. And when some elements of the drinks sector argue for against the pricing that takes place in certain supermarkets. I'm thinking here about some of the on-trade establishments who've seen their trade diminish over the past few years as a result of social change, but also because prices in pubs are occasionally quite high. They are actually effectively inviting politicians to put up tax on alcohol, which I find very odd that members of the drink sector should wish to do that.
Well, they've got problems, obviously, with cheap alcohol being sold at supermarkets and people drinking at home, particularly with the cigarette ban and pubs. You can still drink and smoke at home.
You can, but I would argue, you see, that part of this is a large part of this is part of social change. If you look over the last few years, what have we seen on our high streets? We've actually seen the growth of coffee bars. Mm-hmm. You go to many places. I actually know of a former pub on the A23, which has now been turned into a drive-in Starbucks. Now, there are social changes that are taking place that are seeing people in an evening after work go to the gym instead of going straight home or going to the pub as they might have done 20 or 30 years ago. I think there's huge competition for people's interests and activities during the day and in the evening. And one option, of course, as you say, rightly say, is that people actually like to go home and drink at home. Why should people not have the freedom to go to a supermarket and buy a meal and a bottle of wine, take that home and share it with friends and family?
All right. So the Scottish proposals don't talk about how the minimum pricing is going to be implemented. They also talked about in their consultation document about separating the sale of alcohol from other groceries or domestic products in supermarkets and other multiples. Have they gone down that route?
No, they've decided that at the moment they're not going to go down that route, and that's principally because they have, I think, taken notice of the protests from the smaller shop owners who've made it clear that it would be economically unviable. I mean, in lots of retail environments, the smaller shops, there is only one till. And yeah, there is no space to create a second till point. I think also they may have appreciated that it would be extremely irritating for customers. I mean, the idea that you would want to go to a supermarket and queue twice to buy your weekly shop really doesn't stand thinking about. People wouldn't want to do it.
I've done it in Australia a lot and it didn't bother me too much.
Well, it's interesting this, you see, because I think there are some interesting lessons about this. If you've maybe lived in a culture where it's custom and practice, then maybe it doesn't bother you so much. But there is evidence, and indeed Morrison's supermarket produced evidence for the Scottish government during their consultation, that in a number of stores in Northern Ireland, which for historical reasons had separate tills for alcohol, sales were higher than average.
Okay.
Slightly odd, that. And I suspect that one of the thought processes was that people, having to queue separately, thought, right, well, I won't do that too many times. I tell you what, I'll go and buy larger quantities. And the evidence from sales, their sales analysis, suggested this was true.
Interesting. What other proposals have they kicked into touch or are they accepted?
Well, they've gone a halfway house on the purchase age of 21 in the off-sales market. They actually, having had it voted against in the Scottish Parliament just before Christmas, they've decided that it's still a good idea in principle, but they'll leave it to local licensing boards to impose should they wish to do so. Our view is that that's still a grave mistake. I mean, there's a massive student protest against it in Scotland, not surprisingly, perhaps. Yeah. I just think it creates a recipe for confusion. I also think it's wrong. I mean, I think the idea that, you know, at 18 you can go off and fight for your country, but then you can come home and find yourself unable to purchase a can of lager or a bottle of wine from your local off-licence is absolutely wrong. And I think that it also, it runs into the risk, really, of stigmatising alcohol for people who really, you know, as in many other walks of life, are treated as grown adults. Why shouldn't they be able to have a drink?
Also, probably by the time you're 18, you're out of the house. Well, if you're a student as well, you're out of the house, and getting hold of alcohol, if you know someone who's 21, is not really an issue because your social circle is less about age and it starts to change to be more about interests. So knowing someone who's over 21 is easy, and that would just, I suppose, that would make a lot of people effectively illegal because they're sourcing alcohol illegally.
I think that's right. I think it also, and the Scottish government yesterday did acknowledge this, they can see that there is going to be a problem with distant sales here. I mean, the prospect of people driving down to Carlisle to pick up booze from shops there is already in sight. They can see that the internet makes the business of producing age restrictions somehow problematic because you know, what's to stop someone going online and ordering and then having it delivered?
Yeah, for sure. That's always been a problem, though. You know, there's very little age restrictions if you purchase alcohol online, except for the fact that most people can't get a credit card unless they're over 18.
Well, that's the credit card is actually the thing that provides, and they're asked to testify to their age, of course. I mean, you could argue that people could lie about that, but the credit card is the issue. It provides the basis on which they testify to their age.
Yeah.
During the process of purchase. I think the other interesting thing that they've talked about, and again, it seems to me wholly alien at a time when businesses are facing a lot of pressure and actually struggling to keep afloat, is this notion of a social responsibility fee to be imposed. In areas where there is deemed to be a particular problem with alcohol misuse, the local licensing authority could impose a fee on certain businesses for the costs associated with misbehaviour arising from alcohol misuse. Now,
that's not too different to what the Westminster government proposed when they were doing the new licensing act, wasn't it? That the pubs that cause problems have to pay for some of the policing associated with that.
Well, yeah, but the proposal in Scotland actually is talking in terms. It's not saying that it's just one or two businesses. It's actually saying that they could be applied across whole ranges of businesses in a particular area.
Okay.
Now, it seems wholly wrong that businesses that have done nothing wrong should pay for these costs. You know, that they claim are associated.
A high-end Italian restaurant.
Absolutely.
Gets
hammered. I mean, where does this stop? Should I, because I don't happen to play rugby, say to the local authority that the misbehaviour arising from a few rowdy lads after a rugby match on a Saturday, should that be paid for by the local rugby club? I mean, you know, we live in a society here, and the alcohol industry makes a massive financial contribution to the exchequer anyway, courtesy of excise duty, VAT, etc., and corporation tax. I just think it's wrong.
What were your proposals back to the Scottish Government with regards to things like minimum pricing? Were you saying don't do it, or you know, consider these implementations?
We're opposed to it in principle because we believe it would be wrong for government to intervene in the pricing mechanism that is operated by retailers. It's wrong for them to intervene in that way. Interesting issue here is, of course, that if you acknowledge the principle of minimum pricing, as some people seem to do, you then seem to accept, under what's being put forward in Scotland, the notion that government and ministers will then decide what the price is.
Mm.
Now, do you really want a government minister deciding what the price is per unit of alcohol? And there's an interesting, particularly interesting dimension for the wine market here, because of the proposal which is built around pricing per unit of alcohol, you open up the possibility, the likelihood, of a very clear differential in price between your 10-degree German wine and your 14.5 Aussie Shiraz.
Is that not a good thing, though?
Do you think it's a good thing? I think, actually, it disadvantages consumers and it disadvantages wine producers.
But it will encourage people to drink lower alcohol wines with lower units.
I think that what encourages people to drink low alcohol wines is by providing them with a wide range of choice of products. And actually, it's interesting, in the past 6 months, we've been working with the authorities here, with the government here, with the European Union, to try and persuade them to adopt a more lenient attitude to low-alcohol wines made using a couple of processes, reverse osmosis and spinning cone, and allow it for experimental purposes to be traded around the EU. And they've granted that. They've granted a relief on that. Now, I think that in itself is the sort of thing that you want to do. Make the products available to people and allow people to make the choice. And if they want low-alcohol products, by all means, go and buy them. You shouldn't be actually using the pricing regime to dictate what people buy.
But it's already been done. For example, the duty changes quite significantly at about 15.5%. If you have a wine over, is it 15 or 15.5%?
Well, duty, but that becomes a fortified wine.
No, because grapes can go to fermentation above 15.5%. In California, they land up watering the wine back so that they don't break that threshold to stay within certain price points.
So let me get this right. You work in the wine sector, and you think it's a good idea that minimum pricing is introduced to actually make it more difficult to buy a large section of the wine produced in the world?
I don't have a problem with encouraging people to drink lower alcohol wines, and if they want to buy higher alcohol wines, that's fine, but I don't actually have a problem with them paying a bit more for that.
I think the issue is whether or not it's right that government actually sets and makes that decision. And I think
they're effectively out by sitting duty each year.
Well, the duty rate was set within certain boundaries, and yes, I grant you, you know, it covers that boundary for wine between 8% and 15%. That's where it sits, and then you have bans for fortified wine and so on. Equally, there's bans for spirits and beer and ready-to-drink products and what have you. It seems to me that that is a tax regime designed to actually provide some measurement of the significance of the alcoholic content in a broad range of those particular products. It is not designed to change the market and intervene in the market. It's there as a cash-raising measure. I mean, that's what the government made clear at the time of last year's excessive duty increases. They wanted revenue.
Yeah.
So they increased excise duty. We disagree, but that's what they did. Whether or not you want ministers actually intervening and setting the price per alcohol unit that can be charged to consumers, I doubt that most people would believe that that's a good idea. We certainly don't.
Just before we finish up, the true cost of alcohol is approximately the cost of the equivalent weight of sugar. That really is, you know, it's sugar plus a bit of time and effort. You know, that is the true cost of alcohol, which is virtually zero. Minimum pricing, for me, the main problem isn't so much that the price becomes high and discourages people. I think it sets it high and will encourage people to go another route, and then they'll find that the true cost is very little.
I think that is equally true, and I agree with you there. And I think that one of the issues here is whether or not pricing actually does what it's intended to do. I mean, let's take it at face of argument. If you say that minimum pricing is designed to prevent alcohol misuse, do we believe that that's true? I'm not sure it is. I speak as a reformed smoker. Fortunately, I gave up, right? I know that when I was smoking heavily, when the price of cigarettes went up in the budget, and it went up pretty significantly in a successive budgets because the government was determined to clamp down on smoking, it didn't stop me from smoking. What stopped me from smoking was a determination to improve my health and to ensure that I didn't die young. Now, those who misuse alcohol, I find it hard to believe that they will be deterred from purchasing products because the price is put up. Because if they've got an alcohol problem and they're determined to get to drink to get drunk, they will find a way of doing that, be it through purchasing the supermarket, or be it, as you've just actually referred to, stilling their own and legal production homebrew.
Yeah.
The people who are going to be impacted about these are the people who turn up at a store at the weekend, they go to do their weekly shop and they want to buy that bottle of wine, and they will find that actually it may in the future be £4.50 rather than £3.50. Now, a pound may not sound like a lot to you, but in the grocery mixed basket that the Grocer magazine produces each week, the fixed price of each product, the average price of each product is £1.81. Now, that tells you a lot about what people's spending power is. So when they're considering what to buy each week, when they go for a shop, a £3 or even £4 bottle of wine represents a significant spend for most. It may not for the professional classes, but for many ordinary families it does. So at a time when everybody's seeing their budgets really stretched, I find it very odd that the Scottish Government wants to introduce a proposal which will not, in our view, address the people who have a problem with alcohol, but will simply mean that ordinary families have to pay a higher price for their weekly shop.
Interesting you talk about professionals. To me, the people who are most sensitive to price are the very young, because they don't necessarily have the jobs to pay for it. The most problems associated with things like binge drinking, or particularly binge drinking with social consequences for people being dragged into fights on the street when they don't really want to be involved, is usually associated with the young people. In my view, anyway, I might be wrong, but whenever I look outside the pubs around my area, it's always the real drunk people are the young people. So do you not think that the problem people will be most influenced by the minimum pricing?
When you talk about the young people there, who are you? What age are you referring to?
Probably 16 through to about 22, 23.
Well, let's be clear, because an argument around price for sub-18-year-olds is spurious. They shouldn't be drinking alcohol anyway.
Oh, I know, but they still will. And if the price rises,
okay. But let's be absolutely
sensitive to price.
Let's be absolutely clear about it. They shouldn't be drinking alcohol anyway. Yeah. The youth market, you say they're sensitive to price, and yet there is evidence that across a whole range of products, it has to be said, not just in the alcohol sector, that market, the 18 to 25 year old, is massively sensitive to fashion. and to what is perceived to be cool and what is perceived to be trendy. Mm-hmm. And frequently they will go the extra mile to spend on premium products. It is not that age group which is drinking frequently the cheapest, most available product. It is not that age group which is buying the cheapest, most available pair of jeans or the cheapest, most available pair of trainers. They are actually saving and finding by hook or by crook a way of purchasing the premium product in across those items. So I'm not sure I agree with you. I do agree with you in the sense that it's that age group which is most clearly associated with alcohol misuse. And whilst average alcohol consumption has been going down in the UK, actually, since 2004, and I think this is something that's forgotten sometimes in the talk about binge drinking, those who are drinking excessively are drinking more, and there is no doubt that that 18 to 25 group is an area where we need to look at ways of addressing it. You may know that the industry is actually looking at a social marketing campaign at the moment, that is a response really to the challenge from the government to come up with ways of using its marketing to actually communicate the responsible drinking message to a younger audience. That 18 to 25 year old group is certainly in mind in that.
Okay, Gavin. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Gavin. From a consumer point of view, minimum pricing will affect cheap wines the most. But what is likely to be the minimum price? Well, we know the lowest possible level it's going to be, and that's the tax on wine, at least £1.80, which is the duty plus VAT on the duty. Anything above that, I think, is a bit punitive, but a minimum price of £3, I don't think I'd mind. Some people can find wine and enjoy them at that price or lower. Personally, I think decent wine starts around £5 a bottle. The people who benefit from very low prices are high-volume companies who use their scale to make and sell very cheap wine, usually through the supermarket. An independent wine merchant cannot and should not be selling wine below £3 a bottle, and many quality-focused merchants wouldn't sell wine below £5 a bottle. It's the big producers and the shippers and the supermarkets that are the most affected by minimum pricing. And it's impossible for an independent wine merchant to compete with price being sold below costs. Supermarkets can do it because they know once they've got you in store, you'll buy more than just the wine, and they'll make money on the other products. A wine merchant can't do this. Minimum pricing is a lifeline to small wine merchants, pubs and bars. It decreases the gap between the price for them and the price sold at supermarkets. And I think it's actually good for the wine industry. The other alternative is that the government increases prices through taxation. This will affect all parts of the industry equally. And it will not stop the supermarket selling wine at a loss. It'll only make it more expensive for them to do it and to hit the same prices. Strategies for minimum pricing are probably best based on either grams of alcohol to avoid people buying the cheapest alcohol content. I certainly know a few people from my student days who used to do that. Or perhaps by setting it to the minimum tax level, as we discussed earlier. Setting the minimum price to the tax level will mean that most businesses don't need to worry about it, as they're legally not able to sell wine below this price. So it'll result in less problems. Setting a price per gram will result in a huge range of minimum prices, and I think it's going to be difficult for small companies to ensure they have the correct price. A small change in price per gram will mean that the minimum prices will need to change for every price point between 9 and 15% ABV. We'll have a talk to Michael Thompson next week about the Portman Group situation with minimum pricing and their response to the Scottish White Paper, which has now been taken and converted into a proposed law. But before we finish up this week, let's have a look at our quote. Wine is bottled poetry. Any ideas who it was? Well, in the end, it was a Robert Louis Stevenson. Until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Chris Scott and the news is read by Jane Scott. To listen to other shows, visit ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.